You know, honestly, you know, every Monday is kind of a manic Monday on the show, but, you know, during this presidential campaign season, it's even more manic every Monday. Hi, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. I hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, there was a little rain over the weekend at times. I hope that didn't ruin any of your plans. And you've heard the forecast. There's still a slight chance of rain, but the biggest chances of rain are gone, and that means it's going to be nice and hot. Oh, boy. And remember, you got to watch out for the heat, but also the stupidity. All right, we got a lot to get to this afternoon. Ian Hoke is the Assistant Program Director and Brand Manager. Ian has some other business to take care of today, so he's not on the show with me. So it's Coleman in our studio as the studio producer. Good afternoon, Coleman.
How you doing, Scoop?
I am good. Ready for a good show?
Hell yeah.
Okay, I love that. Hell yeah. Not yeah, but hell yeah. And, you know, that fits the attitude of Mondays here on the show. You know, I know if it was a nice long weekend, and I have to admit, I wanted to, you know, kind of stay home, and, you know, it would have been nice to have another day. But, you know, I got myself up, and I'm charged up, and I'm excited about doing the show today. And even though it's Monday, I'm not going to be down because you know the philosophy on the show on Mondays. We're going to be up. We're going to be positive. Monday is another day of living life, and we're not going to waste it. And, you know, for some people, Monday is their day off. I mean, there are restaurants that are off on Mondays, closed on Mondays. There are a lot of hair people who are off on Mondays. So for some people, it's kind of like a weekend. So, yeah, we're going to be up on Monday. So glad you're with us. Glad you survived the weekend. Are you watching the Olympics? Coleman, are you watching any of the Olympics?
Not voluntarily. It's just some bars where I'm at are right now here in the studio. It just happens to be on TV.
I'm loving it.
You are.
I'm loving the Olympics. Now, there were a few flaws here and there. And I love watching the athleticism. I think it's amazing. I've started exercising again. I had surgery a while back, and I went 15 months without exercising. And, man, I just hated myself. And I was gaining a little bit of weight, and I hated myself. And so, I'm back to exercising, and I would hate myself even more if I wasn't exercising and watching the Olympics. Not that I exercise to the point where I'm going to get to the Olympics, but it's just it feels good to maybe be in a little better shape while I'm watching the Olympics, because these athletes are just so finely tuned. It's amazing.
Well, you touched on why I don't watch it. When I look at these athletes, and then you know they have the little chyron where they're from, and then they say their age. They're like 16 and 18 and 20. It's like, well, what have I been doing with my life that I couldn't get to that peak athleticism? Like these, it's like a reminder of my failures, which is ironic because I also watch like professional wrestling and I see these guys and they're beefed up, but I don't feel any jealousy towards them.
Well, good. No, Coleman, don't be down on yourself. And my God, the skateboarders. I watched some of the women's skateboarding yesterday. This was the skateboarding. I think this was street skateboarding. And park skateboarding is coming up. This was street skateboarding. Love the park, skate park. And some of these girls are like 14 and 15. In fact, I think the one who won from Japan, Coco, man, the Japanese. Look, we invented skateboarding, right? I mean, we invented skateboarding. But the Japanese and the Chinese have taken over this. And, man, they've turned this into their sport because the Japanese were just dominating in what I saw yesterday. And these girls aren't even old enough to leave the country. And they're at the Olympics.
I wasn't even aware that skateboarding was an Olympic sport now. It's sort of like, I heard that breakdancing is now an Olympic sport. I don't know if that was a rumor or not, but I can believe it. They had so many new sports that I would never associate with the bikers, like the X Game type bikers are in the Olympics now.
Yes.
That's how I know I'm out of touch. Yeah. But I do like the female gymnast. If I am going to watch anything from the Olympics, it's going to be Simone Biles in the female gymnast.
I mean, how do you, without touching the beam, how do you jump? How do you do a flip on that narrow beam and land back on it? I mean, I just don't even know how that's humanly possible, but, you know, obviously it is. And, you know, there's drama going on because, you know, this person did well in Tokyo and they want to do it again here. And swimming, the U.S. is doing really well in swimming. And, you know, I don't know where it is now, but last night the U.S. was leading in the medal competition, the medal count, with 12 total medals, and the next closest had eight medals in the medal total. So U.S. is doing really well, and track and field hasn't even started yet, as far as I know. But I'm looking forward to that again tonight. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about on this Manic Monday, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so over the weekend, Donald Trump said, if you vote for me, you don't have to worry about voting again. Donald Trump said this to a group of Christians. It was a Christian conference over the weekend. And he said, listen and believe what, you know. I mean, there are people who want you to believe everything Donald Trump says. So how are we to interpret this? He says, if you vote for me, you don't have to worry about voting again. Now, after January the 6th, what do you think that means? And if you're a Trump supporter and you want to spin this, I'm going to give you a chance to spin it. How would you spin this? Because they were spinning it yesterday. You were getting dizzy if you were watching some of the Sunday morning shows yesterday. So if Donald Trump says, if you vote for me and I win, you won't have to vote again. What does he mean by that? Now, there was one suggestion from a Republican senator that it was just a joke. And I heard him say it. It didn't sound like a joke. And I like to think that I'm pretty good at, knowing what's a joke and what's not a joke. And, you know, that seems to be a trend when he says something that people don't like. It was just a joke. I mean, was it a joke? I mean, really, was it a joke? We're going to talk about that this afternoon. Also, there are some theories going around. I guess you would call them conspiracy theories, that there was something not totally honest about Donald Trump being shot. And there's a picture, if you look closely at his ear, and this is from a former Obama White House photographer. It's been now deleted from the X account, but it implies that Donald Trump wasn't even shot at all. Now, look, you can believe conspiracy theories if you want to, but that guy died. And again, we don't name the shooters in situations like this because many times the shooters are interested in getting publicity. They want their name mentioned. Even though they know they're dead, they want their name mentioned. So even in death, we're not going to honor them by mentioning their names. And that's just the philosophy of our show. If it's a mass shooter or somebody in a shooting like the attempted shooting, the attempted assassination on Donald Trump, we don't mention their names because even after death, I don't want them to, I don't want to give them what they might have been seeking, which is after death publicity. So, but that guy's dead. I mean, did they shoot at him? Was he lying down? And then did he like secretly get up later? And did they escort him to a car? And it was just a fake death? You know, I heard the conspiracy theories right away, and another one popped up over the weekend. I think Donald Trump was shot. And if he wasn't shot, then, I would be surprised. But I can't imagine that this was totally fake. Anyway, we'll get into that this afternoon, too. Mayor Cantrell may have to answer questions in a civil complaint, and we'll get to hear about him. You know, if you don't know, Mayor Cantrell's kind of in deep. Any day now, we could hear about a federal indictment against Mayor Cantrell. There's a federal investigation into her. And there was a federal indictment issued against her booty guard, Officer Jeffrey Vappi of NOPD. So is he going to turn? Is he going to tell on her? And now we're hearing that she might have thought her phone was secure and it might not have been secure. And everything that she was saying to Vappi is evidence that the feds have. Ooh, that might not be good. And so Cantrell likes to keep a lot of things secret. She is, you know, she promised transparency at the beginning of her first term. And she has been one of the least transparent mayors that I've witnessed in the history of being in New Orleans and having been born here. So anyway, that's interesting. You know, if there's an indictment handed down, we'll be talking about it today. Hey, J.D. Vance now has Secret Service protection. And J.D. Vance, the Republican nominee for vice president for Donald Trump, now has his code name. What do you think his code name should be? I mean, I'm thinking couch, but I guess that would be too obvious. It's now reported that his name is Bobcat. Secret Service says his code name is Bobcat. Now, should we know that code name? I mean, shouldn't that be something that's kind of private? I would think so, but I guess it really doesn't matter. So the Democrats have a new line of attack on Donald Trump and Republicans. They're weird. No, that's it. They're weird. That's the strategy. Let's just say they're weird. Let's just say Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are weird. I mean, is that enough to get attention? They're weird. I mean, there's weirdness on both sides. Also, we've got to talk a little more about J.D. Vance, and now he's walking back on it, but I don't think it's fair for him to walk back on it. I think it would be better if he said, you know what, I said that and I didn't really mean it. But as you know, a lot of politicians can't bring themselves to admit that they said something that they shouldn't have said. And I'm talking about J.D. Vance, talking about childless parents should have more of a voice in government. This is, I'm paraphrasing here, but that parents with children should have a greater voice in government than childless parents. Legally, that is flawed. Because if you're an American citizen, whether you've got kids or not, you deserve to be treated the same way. You deserve to have the same voice in government. And I think that this is not a good thing to consider. It's true, and I did the research on this after I first heard this comment from J.D. Vance, and Republicans do have more children than Democrats. But really, that shouldn't matter. So we'll talk about that this afternoon as well. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Since Ian is off doing business for the station today, Coleman and I will take care of your text messages. We'll get to some of those, and we'll also get to some of your calls when we come back. A lot to talk about here this afternoon. And former President Donald Trump now has agreed to be interviewed for the FBI concerning the attempt on his life. I don't know why he would have hesitated. But apparently there was some hesitation there, and now he's agreed to the interview. So, again, I know there's some conspiracy theories going on out there. I don't believe the conspiracy theories. I think there really was an assassination attempt on his life, and we have a dead body. Unless, of course, somebody has video of the dead body getting up and walking away, and the shooting of the shooter was fake. I don't believe that, but... You know the way conspiracy theories go today. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a hot Monday afternoon, and we'll be right back on WWL. I watched the Olympics Saturday and Sunday, and I watched again last night, and it's repeated. It's on several different channels, and because of the time change, a lot of it is not happening live, but it's happening, and I'm seeing it for the first time. I love watching this. I love the Winter Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics, and the U.S. is leading in the medal count so far. Just extraordinary athletes doing extraordinary things. But, you know, do you want to comment on the opening ceremony? Do you want to comment on the setup that looked a little bit like the Last Supper and they were using drag queens? Now, you know, I don't freak out over drag queens the way a lot of people freak out over drag queens. But what were the Olympic people thinking? I mean, this was an insult to Christians. And I don't think this was necessary. They didn't have to go this far with it. And from Louisiana, Republican from Louisiana, a Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, wrote on Twitter, last night's mockery of the Last Supper was shocking and insulting to Christian people around the world who watched the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. He went on to say that this is part of an ongoing war on our faith and traditional values, knows no bounds today. Well, look, I agree that Christianity, I disagree that Christianity is under attack the way they say it's under attack. And the whole thing about, you know, the war against Christmas, that was fabricated. It started with Bill O'Reilly on the Fox News channel. And when there are decisions made because of the separation of church and state, and people think that's an attack on Christianity, it's not really an attack on Christianity. But a lot of Christians today feel like they're being persecuted, and they feel like victims. And you know, I understand the hypocrisy of you can do Christian jokes, and you know, that's one of the things that I love about Christians in general, and Catholics. You know, you can make fun, you can have fun, you can tell jokes about Christians and Catholics, and they think, many of them think it's funny. You can't make jokes about Muslims. I understand that, and that's hypocritical. But I don't think this is part of any war on Christianity. But I think that this was just a bad decision that sort of used the setup of the Last Supper that had well, it was kind of like Da Vinci's depiction of the Last Supper in his painting, and they used drag queens. And you know, I don't have a problem with drag queens being part of it, but I don't think that was the right setting for that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. Ian's off. Coleman is with me, and Coleman and I will take care of your text messages, and we'll get to a few of those here in just a moment. But let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Thank you, Scoot. I'm feeling better.
Good, good. That's always good. Did you have a comment to make, Chuck?
Yeah, just dealing with Trump saying about, vote for me and you won't have to worry about voting for another 4 years.
No, he said if you vote for me in another 4 years, you won't have to worry about voting anymore.
Yes.
That's basically what he was saying. So what did he mean by
that? Well, all the Republicans come on and see, said, oh, he was just joking. He was just joking. That's all bull crap. Yes, Trump was not joking. He means every word of it. You put him in office, he's going to declare his private property. USA is going to be his private property, and he's going to go up to everybody who even talks, who offends him.
Well, there's a lot of talk about that, Chuck. There's a lot of talk about Project 2025 and how it's going to change the government if Trump is elected. And that, along with the talk about Trump being an authoritarian type president, surrounding his candidacy and his campaign, this does not bode well for Donald Trump when he says things like, "If you vote for me, and I win, if I'm elected, you don't have to worry about voting again." Was that a joke? And if it was a joke, I don't understand. Was that the punchline? If it's a joke, could anybody explain the joke to me? And if he meant it, what did he mean? What does he mean by that? You're not going to have to vote again. Because for as long as I can remember, every 4 years we've had a presidential election. So why would you not have to vote again if he's elected president? And there are some things in Project 2025 that if he's elected are going to dramatically change the government. So, and then Trump trying to change the outcome of the 2020 election. It's known now through information, through testimony, that Trump knew he lost, but he was still trying to manipulate people into changing things so he would have won even though he lost. And he really threw his vice president, Mike Pence, under the bus, and it was Mike Pence's job to declare Joe Biden the victor. And then there was that little riot that took place at the Capitol on January the 6th. So with all of those things considered, when Trump says something like, if you vote for me and I win, you're not going to have to worry about voting again. What does that mean? The Okunar Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Irwin. Irwin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was outraged with the opening ceremony that appeared to look as the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And now they have doubled down with an apology. You know, they've kind of reversed things. But I did do some research, and I mean, you got to give them, if you give them artistic privilege interpretation, it appears to be a connection with Dionysus, who's also connected to Comus, one of our carnival parades of the past. They still have their carnival ball. It also lends itself to a word called Bicanal, which there's actually a buffet in Las Vegas that's called that. So, you know, I studied as a college student philosophy. I went through Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, et cetera, but we were never taught Dionysus and their little feast, their table with their festive activities. So probably some artistic interpretation was done here, but it was very close to being the Last Supper. Now they have doubled down with an apology. And my biggest issue right now, though, is the Europeans on the internet are mocking the U.S. because of our lack of education concerning the Greek gods and mythology. And I'll only say to them, especially to France, if it wasn't for us, you guys would be speaking German right now. I'll give it to you.
Well, you know, you're right about, you're right about that. The French owe us in a lot of ways. I did not actually see it. I've seen the pictures. I've read the stories. So I didn't actually see it. So I don't have an emotional reaction to seeing it. But it seems like this was flawed from the very beginning, and that it just it didn't need to be depicted in this way. I don't think we should get too upset with it. It's not going to bring about the end of the world or anything like that. But it seems like it was in very poor taste. And again, I don't have an actual emotional reaction to it since I didn't see it in real time. But there are other ways that they could have done what they did without depicting the Last Supper. So I will say that was very, very inappropriate. Let's go to Rick, who's in Metairie. Hey, Rick, welcome to Manic Monday.
Hey, thanks, Scoot. First time, long time here. Got to agree with that last
caller. You're a first-time caller? You've listened for a long time, first-time caller?
Big listener, first-time caller.
All right, appreciate it. Look, Rick, we got to give you some treatment here, man. We got to give you the treatment. Okay, Rick, we honor you as a first-time caller. So what has you calling in today?
I think the outrage is a little ridiculous. I don't think it was really mocking the Last Supper whatsoever. I think it was paying homage to the Greek heritage of the Olympics. You know, and also, too, talking about the French, I mean, this is a nation, what was it, a decade or so ago with the Charlie Hebdo incident. So if they did want to take shots at a religion, I think they would know how to do it. So I think a lot of this outrage is just coming from people who are looking for things to be upset with, and they're looking for the first opportunity to kind of throw their hands up and yell foul. So,
Rick, I agree with that.
I think this outrage is a little manufactured.
I generally agree with that. I think it was in poor taste. I think there's a limit to the outrage that should result from this. I mean, I don't, again, this is not going to bring about the end of the world. This is not going to cause people to leave Christianity. This is not going to cause fewer people to become Christians. It's not going to have that kind of impact. So as outraged as some people are, and I understand that, also understand, what is the real impact here? I mean, what is this going to do? It was in poor taste. It didn't have to be done. But what's the effect going to be? I mean, I don't know that there's going to be any true, negative effect as a result of this other than the criticism. All right, let's go to Coleman and let's get to a couple of your text messages.
All right, this first text says, even if it was based on the Last Supper, isn't everyone welcome at Jesus' table?
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Jesus would have welcomed drag queens. I'm sure there's a possibility that one of the apostles might have been a drag queen. If what happened with Jesus happened today, it just so happened that it happened thousands of years ago. But if it happened today, I'm sure that included in that dinner might have been trans people or drag queens or people from the LGBTQ community.
This text says, I wonder what the athletes from the Islamic countries thought about the drag queen ceremony.
I don't know. I certainly can't speak for them. There are going to be Muslim athletes that are going to be very offended if you make fun of Allah. And I'm not saying this of all Muslims, but the more radical Muslims do not have a very good sense of humor when it comes to humor about their religion and Allah. Christians and Catholics in particular have a better sense of humor when it comes to their religious beliefs.
I'll leave you with this one. This one actually came 30 minutes before your show aired. It says, well, your glorious drag queens that you go out your way to protect have screwed up in France. They have mocked Jesus' Last Supper in the opening ceremony at the Olympic Games in France, and it is sick. Going forward, there was a guy that was dressed in black who was wearing fake genitals and hanging out around children. Good job in protecting that trash, Scoot. Very disrespectful, to say the least.
Well, look, there are different kind of drag queens. In the same way, there are different kind of heterosexuals. And if drag queens are doing something inappropriate, that's different from the drag queens who aren't doing anything inappropriate. And I will tell you, if you're a straight person and you're not a drag queen, there are a hell of a lot of heterosexuals who are obscene, they're disgusting, and they're going after kids, and in many cases, they're getting kids. It's heterosexuals, straight people. So there are bad people in every group. And I'm only defensive of the drag queens that are harmless. And I think drag queens in general are harmless, and they've been around forever. There've been drag people on TV. There've been people who, men on TV, really throughout the 50s and 60s and 70s that have dressed in drag. And nobody thought anything of it. And I don't know why during this particular election cycle. Well, I know why. It's because of the ridiculous culture wars. And people like Jeff Landry, our governor, and others, right-wing radicals, have made people afraid of drag queens, and I don't think drag queens are the problem. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1998, Matchbox 20 began their first headlining tour at the UNO Lakefront Arena here in New Orleans. This was the first time they were a headliner, and they did it right here in New Orleans at UNO. Some of you may even remember being at that concert in 1998. That was Matchbox 20's first headlining tour, began at the Lakefront Arena here in New Orleans. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. Manic Monday on WWL. It is a Manic Monday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Greg in Metairie. Greg, welcome to WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just two things. About the opening ceremony, that painting wasn't based on the Last Supper. It was a Dutch painting called The Feasting of the Gods, if I recall, because I kind of knew the stuff. And I think it's been misinterpreted, but I didn't like the guy with his balls hanging out. I'm sorry. I didn't
know. Well, I didn't see it all, but I mean, I think that's pretty disgusting.
Oh, well,
it's not necessary.
You got to go YouTube it because it was pretty disgusting. And the other
I don't need to see it to know it's disgusting.
Okay. The other thing was having a decapitated head of Marie Antoinette singing while blood is spurting out of her neck.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kathy Griffin kind of bit.
And that's when the heavy metal band came on. They kind of looked like Metallica, but they weren't. There was some French, like, heavy metal band, and it went right to them. And this was over 3 hours of this. And then most of it was all rainy. It was kind of I don't think it was a great thing. I mean, I know what the French want to do. You know, they've always been at the tip of the sword as far as being provocateurs, right?
Well, look, in some ways they have. Obviously they invented that form of kissing. They have been at the front of a lot of things, but I don't, you know, I mean, I never saw the French as being, you know, overly innovative.
But I wasn't really, because I already knew, because I had known that painting, you know, being, you know, listen, I am very proud that I studied anthropology and I have a degree in history and political science from Tulane University. I'm very proud of. So I study this stuff and I still study today. I still consume books about history and stuff.
That's good.
So yeah. I think it keeps me, pretty level headed. The second thing. Oh God. Now I lost track of my thinking.
Hey, I've done that before.
It was about what Trump meant.
Oh, yeah. What did he mean when he said, if you vote for me and I win, you won't have to vote again?
Because, I mean, any reasonable person knows what he meant. It was like...
Wait a minute. I'm reasonable. I'm reasonable, and I don't...
No, I didn't say you weren't. I said any reasonable person that's taken this away, but my friends have concurred.
Well, I'm reasonable.
What he meant is just relax.
I don't know what he meant.
Okay, I'm trying to explain how I interpreted what he meant.
Okay.
He says, listen, he didn't mean you can't vote again after 4 years. What he meant is you can relax and vote. You don't have to be worried about your vote. That's what he was trying to convey.
But that's not what he said. He said you won't have to vote again.
Scoot, how many times have you misspoken?
Well, I don't continue to misspeak the same line over again, and he said it several times.
I think you're missing what I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah, I am.
You wanted my opinion on what he meant,
okay,
right?
Okay, but I'm not, I mean,
I think
when you
what
say...
he meant was he wants the nation to become a nation, at least, at the very least, a nation of law and order.
Okay,
and
but...
we haven't seen that
right,
in almost
well,
4 years.
But he
oh,
didn't
no,
say
no,
that.
No.
That's another part of what he says he's going to do as president. I get that. I get that he wants to change the country.
And then what he meant by don't worry about another 4 years is the next time you vote, hopefully policies will be put in place where you don't have to worry about your vote.
Right,
you
but he
admit,
didn't
this is
say
a very
that.
Divided country.
He didn't say the next time you vote. He said you're not going
to
have to vote again.
Conveyed perfectly.
Okay.
Maybe.
You know, Greg, it's really interesting It's really interesting.
No,
well, you're a Trump supporter, so maybe your view of that is skewed.
Scoot. It's not so much as I'm a Trump supporter, but look at the alternative.
Gregory, look, don't get me on semantics.
I believe he's a reasonable guy.
Okay, you're voting
for
Trump.
I will give him that. I believe he's a reasonable.
Just go ahead, Gregory, and finish, because I'm not going to talk over you. Just go ahead and finish.
I believe he's a reasonable guy, Scoot. That's all I'm saying. You know, I would never give you, bad opinions from me. I mean, your show is an open forum for us guys to talk as well as some of the nutbags that call in. I mean, for crying out loud, maybe I'm a nutbag. But I think what he was trying to say at the end of the day is, do not worry. I'm going to try to get this under control so the next time you have to elect a president, we'll carry on. That's all he meant.
Okay, I hope so. And Gregory, I think it's really interesting that so many people have to interpret what Trump really meant. Trump says a lot of stuff, and people, well, no, that's not what he meant. I mean, that's kind of confusing to me, because we were critical of Joe Biden because he couldn't communicate. And if somebody has to come along and explain what Trump is saying, what he really means, then we can't take him at his word, because there are people who tell me, and they've called this show and say, well, you know, you believe Trump because he means what he says and he's going to do what he says he's going to do and he means it. So you listen to Trump. Okay, I'm listening to Trump say, if I'm elected, you don't have to vote again. What does that mean? I don't think it means what Gregory was saying, because that's not what he said. What he said was you don't have to vote again. So I'm still curious as to what that means.
Well, I want to compare and contrast with Gregory. Compare and contrast what Gregory said with Kenneth and Raylan's point of view. He says what Donald Trump means is you can't vote for him again after the 4 years. And the way I interpret that is, you know, Trump, even whether he wins or loses, he only has 4 years. He only has one term. So you don't have to worry about voting for Donald Trump again. So if you vote for Donald Trump this time, whether he wins or loses,
okay,
he's not going to run again in four more years because he'll be too old. And if he wins, you don't have to vote. You can't vote for him again because that'll be his second term.
Okay.
So I look at it kind of like I'm basing it off what I'm thinking. Kenneth and Raytheon is saying, like, you don't. He only has one term left. So
well, that makes more sense than what that makes more sense than what
Trump
Gregory
again.
Said. But he said, you won't have to vote again. I mean, shouldn't we, you won't have to vote again. It doesn't mean you won't have to vote for me again. You won't have to vote again. So I guess I took that a little too literally. So I guess I shouldn't take what Trump says literally. Is that the point? Anyway, I think we'll continue to talk about this because I take that kind of literally. And with all of the talk that has surrounded Trump and with what happened January the 6th and with some of the conversations that have been coming up about authoritarian type president with some of the scary things in Project 2025, I wonder if there is a plan to end our elections. I can't imagine that happening. I can't. I can't imagine that our system is not strong enough to live up to that challenge. If indeed that's what Trump meant, that he's going to be president or he's going to appoint another person or we're not going to have to vote again. What he said was, quote, you won't have to vote again. He didn't say you won't have to vote for me. You won't have to vote again. So we're trying to figure out what does he mean by that? right after his campaign spokesperson did not have an answer. Then later it was brought up by a Republican senator, Tom Cotton from Arkansas, that it was a joke. And we've heard a lot of times when Trump has said something that is kind of scary and kind of frightening, it's passed off as, oh, that was just a joke. Was it a joke? And if it was a joke, well, you know, there's a meaning behind every joke. What was the joke? I guess I don't understand the joke. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And, you know, I just really, what does he mean when he says, you won't have to vote again? It kind of scares me. And we'll be right back on WWL. Oh, today is a sad day on the SOTA rock culture calendar. On this day in 1974, Mama Cass Elliott of the Mamas and Papas died at the age of 32. She died of a heart attack while on tour as a solo artist in London. Her manager believed that her death might be drug-related, and trying to protect her legacy, he planted this rumor, this story, that she choked on a ham sandwich. And that rumor continued for years, but she did not choke on a ham sandwich. In fact, I remember the joke at the time was if Karen Carpenter ate the ham sandwich that Mama Cass choked on, they would both be alive today. Anyway, that was just a horrible joke, and I was part of that in the past, in my past years in radio. But anyway, no, sadly, this is the day that she was huge. She was very big, and I guess her heart just couldn't take it, but she died of a heart attack. But it was a rumor that she died from choking on a ham sandwich. All right, a lot of calls to get to, a lot of your texts. Are you buying into the strategy of calling the Republicans weird? We'll be back. It is a manic Monday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Greg in Metairie. Greg, welcome to WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Scoot, just two things. About the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
That painting wasn't based on The Last Supper. It was a Dutch painting called The Feasting of the Gods, if I recall, because I kind of knew this stuff. And I think it's been misinterpreted, but I didn't like the guy with his balls hanging out. I'm sorry. I didn't
know. Well, no, I mean, I didn't see it all, but I mean, I think that's pretty disgusting.
Oh, well,
it's not necessary.
You got to go YouTube it because it was pretty disgusting. And the other
well,
disgusting
I'm saying,
thing
yeah,
was,
even not see, I don't need to see it to know it's disgusting.
Okay. The other thing was having a decapitated head of Marie Antoinette singing while blood is spurting out of her neck.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kathy Griffin kind of bit.
And that's when the heart, and that's when the heavy metal band came on. They kind of looked like Metallica, but they weren't. There was some French, like, heavy metal band, and it went right to them. And this was over 3 hours of this. And then most of it was all rainy. It was kind of I don't think it was a great thing. I mean, I know what the French want to do. You know, they've always been at the, tip of the sword as far as being provocateurs, right?
Well, look, in some ways they have. Obviously they invented that form of kissing. They have been at the front of a lot of things, but I don't, you know, I mean, I never saw the French
yeah,
as being, you know, overly innovative.
About this. But I wasn't really... Because I already knew, because I had known that painting, you know, being, you know, listen, I am very proud that I studied anthropology and I have a degree in history and political science from Tulane University. I'm very proud of. So I study this stuff and I still study today. I still consume books about
good.
History and stuff.
That's good.
So, yeah. I think it keeps me, pretty level-headed. The second thing. Oh, God. Now I lost track of my thinking.
Hey, I've done that before.
It was about what Trump meant.
Oh, yeah. What did he mean when he said, if you vote for me and I win,
okay,
you won't
hold
have
on.
To vote again?
Because, I mean, any reasonable person knows what he meant. It was like...
Wait a minute. I'm reasonable.
To...
I'm reasonable, and I don't...
No, no,
I honestly
no, no,
don't know
no,
what
no,
he
no.
meant.
I didn't say you weren't. I said any reasonable person that's taken this away, but my friends have concurred.
Well, I'm
what
reasonable.
He meant just relax.
I don't know what he meant.
Okay, I'm trying to explain how I interpreted what he meant.
Okay.
He says, listen, he didn't mean you can't vote again after 4 years. What he meant is you can relax and vote. You don't have to be worried about your vote. That's what he was trying to convey.
No, but that's not what he said. He said you won't have to vote again.
Dude, Shoot, how many times have you misspoken?
Well, I don't continue to misspeak the same line over again, and he said it several times.
I think you're missing what I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah, I am.
You wanted my opinion on what he meant,
okay,
right?
Okay, but I'm not, I mean,
I
when you
what
say...
what he meant was he wants the nation to become a nation, at least, at the very least, a nation of law and order.
Okay,
and
but...
we haven't seen that
right,
in almost
well,
4 years.
But he
oh,
didn't
no,
say
no,
that.
No.
That's another part of what he says he's going to do as president. I get that. I get that he wants to change the country.
And then what he meant by don't worry about another 4 years is the next time you vote, hopefully policies will be put in place where you don't have to worry about your vote.
Right,
you
but he
admit,
didn't
this is
say
a very
that.
Divided country.
He didn't say the next time you vote.
He
said you're not going
to
have to vote
it
again.
Conveyed perfectly.
Okay.
Maybe.
You know, Greg, it's really interesting it's really interesting.
No,
well, you're a Trump supporter, so maybe your view of that is skewed.
Scoot. It's not so much as I'm a Trump supporter, but look at the alternative.
Gregory, look, don't get me on semantics.
I believe he's a reasonable guy. Okay,
you're voting
for
Trump.
I will give him that. I believe he's a reasonable.
Just go ahead, Gregory, and finish, because I'm not going to talk over you. Just go ahead
and
finish.
I believe he's a reasonable guy, Scoot. That's all I'm saying. You know, I would never give you, bad opinions from me. I mean, your show is an open forum for us guys to talk as well as some of the nutbags that call in. I mean, for crying out loud, maybe I'm a nutbag. But I think what he was trying to say at the end of the day is, do not worry. I'm going to try to get this under control so the next time you have to elect a president, we'll carry on. That's all he meant.
Okay, I hope so. And Gregory, I think it's really interesting that so many people have to interpret what Trump really meant. Trump says a lot of stuff, and people, well, no, that's not what he meant. I mean, that's kind of confusing to me, because we were critical of Joe Biden because he couldn't communicate. And if somebody has to come along and explain what Trump is saying, what he really means, then we can't take him at his word, because there are people who tell me, and they've called this show and say, well, you know, you believe Trump because he means what he says and he's going to do what he says he's going to do and he means it. So you listen to Trump. Okay, I'm listening to Trump say, if I'm elected, you don't have to vote again. What does that mean? I don't think it means what Gregory was saying, because that's not what he said. What he said was you don't have to vote again. So I'm still curious as to what that means.
Well, I want to compare and contrast with Gregory. What Gregory said with Kenneth and Raylan's point of view. He says, "What Donald Trump means is you can't vote for him again after the 4 years." And the way I interpret that is, you know, Trump, even whether he wins or loses, he only has 4 years. He only has one term, so you don't have to worry about voting for Donald Trump again. So if you vote for Donald Trump this time, whether he wins or loses,
okay,
he's not going to run again in 4 more years because he'll be too old. And if he wins, you don't have to vote. You can't vote for him again because that'll be his second term.
Okay.
So I look at it kind of like I'm basing it off what I'm thinking. Kenneth and Raytheon is saying, like, you don't. He only has one term left. So
well, that makes more sense. That makes more sense than what Gregory said. But he said, you won't have to vote again. I mean, you won't have to vote again. It doesn't mean you won't have to vote for me again. You won't have to vote again. So I guess I took that a little too literally. So I guess I shouldn't take what Trump says literally. Is that the point? Anyway, I think we'll continue to talk about this, because I take that kind of literally. And with all of the talk that has surrounded Trump, and with what happened January the 6th, and with some of the conversations that have been coming up about authoritarian type president, with some of the scary things in Project 2025, I wonder if there is a plan to end our elections. I can't imagine that happening. I can't imagine that our system is not strong enough to live up to that challenge. If indeed that's what Trump meant, that he's going to be president, or he's going to appoint another person, or we're not going to have to vote again. What he said was, quote, you won't have to vote again. He didn't say you won't have to vote for me. You won't have to vote again. So we're trying to figure out, what does he mean by that? Right after his campaign spokesperson did not have an answer. Then later it was brought up by a Republican senator, Tom Cotton from Arkansas, that it was a joke. And we've heard a lot of times when Trump has said something that is kind of scary and kind of frightening, it's passed off as, oh, that was just a joke. Was it a joke? And if it was a joke, well, you know, there's a meaning behind every joke. What was the joke? I guess I don't understand the joke. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And, you know, I just really, what does he mean when he says, you won't have to vote again? It kind of scares me. And we'll be right back on WWL. Oh, today is a sad day on the SOTA rock culture calendar. On this day in 1974, Mama Cass Elliott of the Mamas and Papas died at the age of 32. She died of a heart attack while on tour as a solo artist in London. Her manager believed that her death might be drug-related, and trying to protect her legacy, he planted this rumor, this story, that she choked on a ham sandwich. And that rumor continued for years, but she did not choke on a ham sandwich. In fact, I remember the joke at the time was if Karen Carpenter ate the ham sandwich that Mama Cass choked on, they would both be alive today. Anyway, that was just a horrible joke, and I was part of that in the past, in my past years in radio. But anyway, no, sadly, this is the day that she was huge. She was very big, and I guess her heart just couldn't take it, but she died of a heart attack. But it was a rumor that she died from choking on a ham sandwich. All right, a lot of calls to get to, a lot of your texts. Are you buying into the strategy of calling the Republicans weird? We'll be back.